Unit 2, Part 1, Language Skills Development. 1. Starter. B. Listen to a story about how an old man teaches a monk a lesson for his snobbishness. Then answer the questions briefly.
An old man went to a temple in a mountain and visited a monk there. The monk was snobbish. He didn't welcome the old man because he wasn't rich or powerful. Later, a man, son of a minister, also came to the temple. He brought many servants with him. As the monk saw the man, he quickly ran up to welcome him with a smile. After the man left, the old man unhappily asked the monk, "Why did you treat him so much better than me?" "That's not true. Although I seemed nice to him, in fact, I was not. And I didn't treat you so well because I respect you in my heart," the monk lied. The old man heard that. He hit the monk's head with a cane and said, "Good. Now I hate you because I respect you in my heart too." The monk didn't know what to say, so he could only cry out for pain.
2. Text. The Landlord's Mistake by James Baldwin. When John Adams was president and Thomas Jefferson was vice president of the United States, there was not a railroad in all the world. People did not travel very much. There were no broad, smooth highways as there are now. The roads were crooked and muddy and rough. If a man was obliged to go from one city to another, he often rode on horseback. Instead of a trunk for his clothing, he carried a pair of saddlebags. Instead of sitting at his ease in a parlor car, he went jolting along through mud and mire, exposed to wind and weather. One day, some men were sitting by the door of a hotel in Baltimore. As they looked down the street, they saw a horseman coming. He was riding very slowly, and both he and his horse were bespattered with mud. "There comes old Farmer Mossback," said one of the men, laughing. "He's just in from the backwoods." "He seems to have had a hard time of it," said the other. "I wonder where he'll put up for the night." "Oh, any kind of place will suit him," answered the landlord. "He's one of those country fellows who can sleep in the haymow and eat with the horses." The traveler was soon at the door. He was dressed plainly, and with his reddish-brown hair and mud-bespattered face, looked like a hard-working countryman just in from the backwoods. "Have you a room here for me?" he asked the landlord. Now the landlord prided himself upon keeping a first-class hotel, and he feared that his guests would not like the rough-looking traveler. So he answered, "No, sir, every room is full. The only place I could put you would be in the barn." "Well, then," answered the stranger, "I will see what they can do for me at the Plantern's Tavern round the corner." And he rode away. About an hour later, a well-dressed gentleman came into the hotel and said, "I wish to see Mr. Jefferson." "Mr. Jefferson?" said the landlord. "Yes, sir, Thomas Jefferson, the Vice President of the United States." He isn't here. Oh, but he must be. I met him as he rode into town, and he said that he intended to stop at this hotel. He has been here about an hour. No, he hasn't. The only man that has been here for lodging today was an old clodhopper who was so bespattered with mud that you couldn't see the color of his coat. I sent him round to the planters. Did he have reddish-brown hair, and did he ride a gray horse? Yes, and he was quite tall. That was Mr. Jefferson, said the gentleman. Mr. Jefferson? Cried the landlord. Was that the vice president? Here, Dick, build a fire in the best room. Put everything in tip-top order, Sally. What a dunce I was to turn Mr. Jefferson away. He shall have all the rooms in the house, and the ladies' parlor, too. I'll go right round to the planters and fetch him back. So he went to the other hotel, where he found the vice president sitting with some friends in the parlor. Mr. Jefferson, he said, I have come to ask your pardon. You were so bespattered with mud that I thought you were some old farmer. If you'll come back to my house, you shall have the best room in it. Yes, all the rooms, if you wish. Won't you come? No, answered Mr. Jefferson. A farmer is as good as any other man, and where there's no room for a farmer, there can be no room for me.
New words.
Landlord.
Vice.
Highway.
Crooked.
Muddy.
Oblige.
Horseback.
Trunk.
Saddlebag.
Ease.
Parlor.
Jolt.
Mud.
Mire.
Expose.
Bespatter.
Mossback.
Backwards.
Haymow.
Plainly.
Reddish brown.
Rough looking.
Barn.
Lodging.
Clodhopper.
Spatter.
Tip top.
Dunce.
Proper nouns.
James Baldwin.
John Adams.
Thomas Jefferson.
Baltimore.
The Planters Tavern.
Dick.
Sally.
Part 2. Language in use. 1. Dialogue at the sales meeting. Discussing items.
Having learned about the mistake and the lesson of the landlord in the text, one of his friends, a businessman, held a meeting to discuss sales items and goals, still focus on urban customers or reach out to rural customers.
Before I begin the report, I'd like to get some ideas from you all. How do you feel about rural sales in your sales districts? I suggest we go around the table first to get all of your input. In my opinion, we have been focusing too much on urban customers and their needs. The way I see things, we need to return to our rural base by developing an advertising campaign to focus on their particular needs.
I can't agree with you more. I think rural customers want to feel as important as our customers living in cities. I suggest we give our rural sales teams more help with advanced customer information reporting.
Excuse me, I didn't catch that. Could you repeat that, please?
I just stated that we need to give our rural sales teams better customer information reporting. Well, we provide our city sales staff with database information on all of our larger clients. We should be providing the same sort of knowledge on our rural customers to our sales staff there.
Would you like to add anything, Jennifer?
I must admit, I never thought about rural sales that way before. I have to agree with Alice.
Well, let me begin with this PowerPoint presentation. As you can see, we are developing new methods to reach out to our rural customers. Unfortunately, we're running short of time. We'll have to leave that to another time. Before we close, let me just summarize the main points. Rural customers need special help to feel more valued. Thank you very much, Jack. Right. It looks as though we've covered the main items. Is there any other business? I'd like to thank Jack for coming to our meeting today. The meeting is closed.
New words.
Rural.
Input.
Urban.
Base.
Advertising.
Campaign.
Staff.
Database.
Client.
Summarize. 2. Pair work. A presentation at a sales conference. Reference answer. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Laura Smith, and I'm the sales manager at East Moto. I'd like to thank the conference organizer for giving me the opportunity to speak to you today. This afternoon, I'm going to tell you about our company and our products. First, I'd like to give you an overview of my presentation. I'm going to begin by telling you briefly about the history and development of East Moto. Then I'll give you an insight into our sales figures over the past decade. After that, I'll take a look at two or three of our key products. And finally, to round off this presentation, I'll be happy to answer any questions. So, let's get started. I'll first turn to the development of our company. East Moto was founded in 1986. At first, it imported used Italian motorbikes, and the demand for motorbikes led to the growth of the company. The first main investment came in 1991 when East Moto bought the present location and built the shop. In 1994, an extension was added. Starting with the importing of bikes, East Moto today is the authorized dealer for 11 different brands. A staff of 14 people, mechanics, salespeople, trainees, are currently employed. Now let me move to the development of our sales over the past decade. Between 5,000 and 15,000 bikes are sold each year. We export to numerous countries around the world, including those in the Far East. From 1998, the registration of scooters and motorbikes rose slightly from 6,502 to 7,434 units. It also increased slightly from 1999 to 2000. From 2000 to 2001, it rose dramatically. Between 2001 to 2002, there was a significant increase again. However, due to relocation of our firm, from 2002 to 2003, it dropped dramatically and leveled out from 2003 to 2004. From 2004 to 2005, it went up dramatically again and dropped slightly in 2006. It dropped considerably in 2007 before it went up dramatically in 2008 again. Two of our key products are motorbikes and quads, vehicles with four wheels. 60% of East Moto's customers are business customers, that is, wholesale business. 40% are private customers, and many are regular customers. Many customers lease motorbikes so that they always have the latest model. There is also an increasing demand for quads. They are not bikes, but there is the feeling of freedom when you ride on one. If asked about their motivation, most customers probably say fun, speed, and acceleration. May I now have questions from the floor? To sum up, competition is hard, and the growth rate may slow somewhat. But East Moto is still very optimistic about the future. Thank you for listening to my speech. If there's anything we can do for you, don't hesitate to let us know. and we will be honored if you order some of our products. 3. Text. Choosing information for a presentation. Choose the information that is most interesting to your audience and that answers the questions your audience will have. Limit your talk to 3 to 5 main points. In a long presentation, 20 minutes or more, each main point can have sub-points. Your content will be easier to understand if you clearly show the relationship between each of the main points. Turning your information into a story also helps. Statistics and numbers can be convincing if you present them in ways that are easy to hear. In an informative presentation, link the points you make to the knowledge your audience has. Show the audience that your information answers their questions, solves their problems, or helps them do their jobs. When you explain the effect of a new law or the techniques for using a new machine, use specific examples that apply to the decisions they make and the work they do. If your content is detailed or complicated, give people a written outline or other handouts. The written material both helps the audience keep track of your points during the presentation and serves as a reference after the talk is over. To be convincing, you must answer the audience's questions and objections. For example, some people think that working women are less reliable than men, but the facts show that women take fewer sick days than men do. However, don't bring up negatives or inconsistencies unless you're sure that the audience will think of them. If you aren't sure, save your evidence for the question phase. If someone does ask, you'll have the answer. Organizing your information. Most presentations use a direct pattern of organization, even when the goal is to persuade a reluctant audience. In a business setting, the audience is in a hurry and knows that you want to persuade them. Be honest about your goals and then prove that your goal meets the audience's needs too. In a persuasive presentation, start with your strongest point, your best reason. If time permits, give other reasons as well and respond to possible objections. Put your weakest point in the middle so that you can end on a strong note. Often, one of the 5 standard patterns of organization will work. Chronological. Start with the past, move to the present, and end by looking ahead. Problem causes solution. Explain the symptoms of the problem, identify its causes, and suggest a solution. This pattern works best when the audience will find your solution easy to accept. Excluding alternatives. Explain the symptoms of the problem, explain the obvious solutions first, and show why they won't solve the problem. And by discussing a solution that will work. This pattern may be necessary when the audience will find the solution hard to accept. Pro-con. Give all the reasons in favor of something, then those against it. This pattern works well when you want the audience to see the weaknesses in its position. 1, 2, 3. Discuss 3 aspects of a topic. This pattern works well to organize short, informative briefings. Today, I'll review our sales, production, and profits for the last quarter.
New words.
Subpoint.
Informative.
Specific.
Complicated.
Handout.
Objection.
Reliable.
Negative.
Inconsistency.
Phase.
Reluctant.
Setting.
Persuasive.
Note.
Chronological.
Solution.
Symptom.
Identify.
Exclude.
Alternative.
Aspect.
Briefing.
Profit. Part 3. Enhancement of language abilities. 1. Get your pronunciation right. A. Listen and practice, paying attention to the sense group and pause.
1. The students get together in small groups to describe to one another their own experience as interns in hospitals during the summer vacation in their hometowns.
2. Betty was a promising student of the foreign language department when she was a young girl in her university.
3. At interview, the first thing that I notice is how the person settles down when they sit down. Do they immediately rush into the room, grab a chair, without being invited to sit down? Are they nervous? Do they spend a lot of time fiddling with their hands? Obviously, everyone is nervous at interview, and you make allowances for that. But if it continues throughout the whole interview, then of course you have to ask yourself, if they're like this after an hour of interview, what will they be like in a normal job? B. Read the following aloud and pay attention to the sense groups and pauses.
There are not as many jobs for students with degrees in the liberal arts, like English, history, or philosophy. These students have to work hard to find jobs that use their skills and knowledge. Some of them may not find the kind of job they are looking for. They may have to work at a job that does not require much skill at all. There is a joke about this. It goes, "What does the history graduate say to the engineering graduate? Would you like fries with your hamburger, sir?" Experts believe, however, that the strong job market will help history graduates as well. They may not be forced to work serving hamburgers and French fries at a fast food eating place.